Although on Hanukkah the halacha is one is not allowed to deliver eulogies, I feel it would be not proper not to mention the passing of Reb Shteinman Zatzal today, as Kavur was in Eretz Yisrael, one of the great gedolim of the previous generation, a couple generations. He was 104 when he died, so he's seen a bunch of generations. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. So although we don't have eulogies on Hanukkah, and I'm not going to give one now, I definitely think it's at least worth acknowledging the fact that he passed away last night in Eretz Yisrael, and Kavur was today. Definitely a big blow for Klal Yisrael at a rather joyous time in the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. It's something worth noting. In other years, we've spoken about a shayla that, I think it's 2 years ago already, we spoke about where to light menorah today. Should you light menorah inside or you light menorah outside? So every time I gave the shir, people would ask me what I do. So for 10 years, I was able to answer. It's not negeah. I lived in an apartment building. I wasn't allowed to menorah outside. So this year was the first year it was negeah. So Baruch Hashem, I was able to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah by lighting menorah outside. Although no one else seems to be doing it, but I was able to fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah outside. So my opinion is, based on the shir that we gave, I think 2 years ago, that if you could, I think it's probably better. Okay, tonight's shir, we're not going to discuss necessarily lighting inside versus outside. Instead, we're going to be discussing about where one can light Ner Hanukkah, not as opposed to inside-outside, but at whose home. Or whom's, where can you light menorah? By your friend's house, and parents' house, and in-law's house, and Hanukkah parties, all these shaylos that come up on Shabbos Hanukkah, Matzah Shabbos Hanukkah, all the various shaylos of where exactly one can light menorah. And hopefully, if there's time, we'll even discuss the shayla, can you light menorah on a plane? Can you light menorah on a boat? Can you light menorah in your car? Some other creative shaylos, exactly where to light menorah. So the truth is, the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is unique in the way that Chazal gave it what we call a mitzvah shebebayis. The way Chazal set up the mitzvah was that it should be Ner Hanukkah, Ner Ishu Beisoy. That the way the mitzvah works is that you have a menorah per house. There's a direct connection between one's home and the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. The Gemara tells us, I put the Gemara here, the Gemara says, Ner Hanukkah mitzvah nicha pesach beisoy mibachutz. The Gemara tells you that the menorah is supposed to go by your house. There's a direct connection between your home and the menorah. The where Chazal gave you the mitzvah was to put it on your house. Similarly to the mitzvah mezuzah. Mezuzah is a mitzvah on your house. And not, you don't walk around with a mezuzah attached to the back of you. You don't put mezuzah and walk around with it in public areas. It's a din in your house. So too, the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is in your house. So the question is, what's considered in my house? So the Gemara discusses an interesting shayla. What happens if at the moment you don't have a house? Right, so the simplest answer to all the Hanukkah shaylos are stay home, don't go anywhere, light menorah in your home, and everything is easy. The problem is, as human beings, that's not always so simple. Many of us have to travel during Hanukkah. Many of us go away for Hanukkah or parts of Hanukkah. Where is my home considered when I'm traveling, when I'm not at home? So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara says like this, Amar Rav Sheshes, Achsanoi Chai B'Ner Hanukkah. Achsanoi, Rashi says over there, is a oirich, a visitor. So a visitor, a guest, is Chai B'Ner Hanukkah. Now we'll have to discuss, what does this mean to be a guest? I can be a guest in your house and I'll sleep and eat in your house, or I can be a guest and sleep in my house and eat in your house, all the various different equations that can come out. So the Gemara tells us, a guest is chayv in Chanukah. When I used to be in the basement of Shavar, when I was a single fellow, Zakti Gemara, Mishatafna bepriti. I used to give a pruta bahadei ushpiza. This is where the Gemara introduces us to this idea called giving a pruta. By giving a pruta, somehow, you then are included with the menorah of the Baal HaBayis. Says the Gemara, Basad in the CV, so after I got married, Amina, I said, Hashtavad eletzuchina, I no longer have to give a pruta. Because my wife will light for me. So if my wife lights for me, that's good enough. As we all know, women are mechuyiv in Neiris Chanukah. The Gemara says it actually one line above this. The Gemara says, women are mechuyiv, because afein hoyi ba'isaneis. So women are clearly obligated. The Mishnah Berura writes that women that are married are not mechuyiv to light because they yetzer with ishta kigufoy. Rabbi Soloveitchik was a big believer that even married women should light Neiris Chanukah. Although the Mishnah Berura says ishta kigufoy, they don't have to. Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that they should. The big discussion that we're not going to have tonight is what about single girls? Why shouldn't single girls light Neiris Chanukah? There's no ishta kigufoy with a single girl. But halacha l'maaseh, if a girl is living by herself, she has her own apartment, she has her own place, there's no reason why she shouldn't light Neiris Chanukah. Now again, I'm not saying she can't potentially be yetzer with her parents on Lucas Neiris Chanukah. If you have a single girl that lives during the weekend in an apartment and comes home for Shabbos, so she's probably yetzer with the father's Neiris Chanukah. Presumably, that's probably true. But I don't see why, if you have a girl who's, you have someone who's nebuch as an almana, there's no reason why she shouldn't light Neiris Chanukah. She's obligated as much as men. As the Gemara says over here, not only are they obligated that when the woman lights Neiris Chanukah at home, it would exempt the man. So this Gemara is somewhat relative to a case of, let's say, for example, you have a husband who's away on a business trip, and he's flying, and we'll see tonight maybe some creative ways how to light menorah on an airplane, but presumably he can't light menorah on an airplane, so what should he do? The answer is let his wife light menorah in the home, no problem.
So how is that possible? The plane would never let you take a fire.
We're gonna talk about it tonight at some point. It's on the sheets over here. A very creative pshat from the Klausenberg, from the Nitta Gavriel quotes, a very creative pshat from Reb Chatzkel Roth, a noted Chassidish Paisik, who's an Alta Yid already. He's one of the older Paiskim today. He has a creative way. We'll talk about that. But let's, for example, classic case. A man is on a business trip, or a man stays late in his office. He's in his office till 2 o'clock in the morning, and the rest of the family are at home. So Pashtus, one would have assumed, the right thing would be let mom light the menorah at Bismanoi, and dad can do whatever he needs to do. He'll get home at 2 o'clock and go to sleep. That would be Pashtus based on this Gemara. That's what Reb Zeira used to do. Reb Zeira would have his wife late in Erech Hanukkah and be Maitzim. The answer is he could be Maitzim even if the husband's in a different city. Pashtus. So let the wife light menorah and you go to go. Most of us don't follow that. I think that option is something that we should consider in a case where the husband is on a business trip, and let's say, for example, he's going to be flying, and the way his flight is patterned, he's going to miss one of the nights of Hanukkah, meaning he has to be in the airport by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and by the time he flies and he lands, he lost the night. So I think for sure he should do that. Let his wife land Erev Hanukkah. The problem is not always is it so easy, because sometimes the husband and wife actually travel together. And if they both are together, then we're back to square one, what you're supposed to do, which we'll try to tackle tonight as well. So the Gemara says this idea of being mishtatef bepruta. There's a big discussion in Lumdus, what exactly does giving a pruta do? What does it accomplish? How does it change anything? So we'll just for today, tonight, without getting into all the Lumdus, the Pashup Shad is it makes you one of the B'nai Beisai. It's one way of saying it, maybe the easiest way of saying it. Is when you give a pruta, now you become part of the family. The halacha is, Mishnah Berurah says before, let's say, for example, someone boards in your house, and they eat there, and they sleep there. They're not one of your children. You can't even use them as a tax deduction. They're still considered B'nai Beisai. They would be yoitza technically with the fathers and lakas neiris. The Mishnah Berurah talks about misharsim. Let's say you have live-in maids and you have babysitters. Their mamas live there. They live there. We're not talking about they're there from 9 to 5 and go home at 5 o'clock. They live there. They live there. They sleep there. You feed them. They're part of your B'nai Beisai. They're not my blood. They're not DNA. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be B'nai Beisai physically, biologically, to be considered B'nai Beisai. So therefore, by giving up pruta somehow, I become like part of the family. Okay. So that's the idea of the Gemara. Now, there's an interesting Rashi over here, number 3. Rashi is referring to a Gemara in Daf Gimel, which also needs a lot of explanation. The idea called a Roya. We know in Shulchan Aruch that the Gemara discusses it, that when it comes to Neir Chanukah, there's something called be a Roya. Someone who witnesses Neir Chanukah, he makes various brachas. So Rashi wants to know, why would anyone ever be a Roya? Why are you not lighting your own menorah? How do you ever come up with such a scenario? Why would you be seeing a menorah not lighting your own menorah? Either you came from your house, or you're going to your house. Right? Presumably, you're not sleeping on a park bench. So wherever you're going to be going, at some point, you'll be in a house, a light nearest Hanukkah there. So how is it ever relevant to have a shayla of a roya? So Rashi writes over here, what's a roya? So middle of Rashi says, Matzos b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchok, Ben Yehuda, I apologize, the sheets were out of order. I'm not sure why they were stapled that way, but we're on sheet 1. That's the one that's, it doesn't say 1 on the top, it should start, it starts 1, 2, 3, so we're on 3 on the right side. So Rashi quotes the middle of it from Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda, Sha'amah Mishem Rabbeinu Yaakov, Toi Huskuk Bracha Zu El Mishla Hidlik Bebeisei Adayin. The only time this bracha is relevant to someone who hasn't yet lit, Oh, Yiliyayshe Besvina. Okay, now it's the middle of a boat. So Rashi sounds like that if you're on a boat, you can't light Neiris Chanukah. We'll see that there are achrayim who discuss these types of shailas when you're on a boat. Obviously, if you're on one of those little rafts, it's not very productive to light a menorah. On a night like tonight, it's going to go out in 2 seconds. But let's say, for example, you're going to take a cruise ship. And in the cruise ship, they give you a room, and you have your own room, and they give you meals. I'm not really sure why you wouldn't have to light Neiris Chanukah in that. That's yours. It's yours for the day, it's yours for the week, whatever, however long it's yours for. But that would be a reason why you should have to light Neiris Chanukah. Many people learn Rashi, Rashi talking about a Svina where you can't light it either because it's a joke. It's not really a house, it's not really a bais, and it's not feasible because it's windy. But if you're on a cruise ship, and these cruises are done, the ships are built very, very seriously, very protective, you have a room, you have a beautiful room, and you have a dining hall, so I'm not sure why you wouldn't light Neiris Chanukah in there. We'll talk about it. Well, there's a Chuvas Marsham who talks about lighting on a train.
Last week you talked about a hotel room.
We're going to get to the hotel room again. We're going to get to that again, hopefully again tonight. We're going to try to talk about that if time allows us. Yeah, I want to talk about it. We're going to hopefully be able to get to it. So that's what we have over here.
The Indian where you just mentioned about giving a pruta, does that have anything to do with being mishtatef in the shemen?
Well, that's what you're giving. The pruta is to own the shemen. And we'll see, there are other ways Mr. Bruce is going to describe. You don't only have to give a pruta. And again, a pruta we'll see is mamish a few pennies. It's not a lot of money. But the other way you could do it, Mr. Bruce says, that the owner says, I'm giving you some of the shemen. I'm making you the shemen. So I can be makni the shemen that way also. We'll see in a second the Mishnah Berurah. In the Rishonim in Shabbos, there seems to be two angles over here to discuss. What's the chiddush of that an achsanoy is chayiv? Why is a visitor, a guest, chayiv in Ner Chanukah? So the Rosh in number four writes, the chiddush of an achsanoy is that I'm not part of the family, says the Rosh. The loy have bechal ish v'ishtoy. Obviously, you're not part of his wife. You're ish ubnei beisoy. The gura changes it in the Rosh. But the point is, the Rosh's agenda over here is to explain, why would I think an achsanoy is not chayiv? Because you would have thought maybe he's part of the family. He's a visitor. He's here for however long he's here. He becomes part of the family. So if you're part of the family, yaitz with dad, look, his name is Chanukah. Says the Gemara, no, you're not. You're not yaitz. You're not part of the family. The fact that you're visiting for supper one night on Chanukah doesn't make you part of the family. The Ran says it a little different. The Ran says, what's the chiddush? Afa pi she'en lo bayis, even though right now you have no home. The loitemi, you shouldn't say, you make the argument, I'm not chayiv. In the same if a person is homeless. He's not mechuyv in mezuzah. The chom yishe in lebayis, part of him in a mezuzah. So you think right now this guy is technically homeless. Now the question is, every visitor must have a house somewhere, unless you're homeless, then you mamash have nowhere to go. Oyrich doesn't mean someone who's homeless, it means someone who's a visitor. So the question is, where is he coming from and where is he going? You know, we'll have to discuss that at length, and it's very negay lahalach. But this is an idea in the Gemara called an oyrich, a person who now doesn't have a house, and he's mishtatif with a pruta to the owner of the house. So this is something that if a person, let's say for example, is traveling, he's away, and he wants to light Neres Chanukah. Again, he's not in a hotel. He's staying by someone. He's boarding with someone, so he doesn't have a menorah with him. So what he should do is he'll give a few cents to the Baal HaBayis, be mishtatif for that, and he's good to go. He's yoytze with the hadlaka of the Baal HaBayis. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is exactly like that. Shulchan Aruch writes in number 6, Shulchan Aruch Tafei Shain Zayin, Achsanoi Shei Medlikin Olav HaBayisayif. If a visitor is not lighting in his own house, Tzarech Las is Putal Baal HaBayis, the Shtatav Imoy. He can't just get away with not lighting Neres Chanukah. Again, if he's a married fellow and his wife is lighting at home, good, so he has his wife's lighting. But if he's a single fellow, or for whatever reason, his whole family's with him, it's a traveling family, the whole family's with him, and no one's lighting in his house, so his obligation is still there. He has to do something. So therefore, says the Mechaber, he's Mishtatav for the Prut. So the Mishnah Berurah gives us a little bit more details of how this works. Says Mishnah Berurah number 7, Hainu, she'ein tzarech achnasoy achsanoy liti kol chatzi hoitzos haneiros. He doesn't have to give half of the expense of the neiros. Rak bepruta sagi. He just needs to give a pruta. Through this, he'll get a part of the oil. Mishnah Berurah says, that you have to put a little bit more shemen than you normally do. Because this is all my shemen. I got to give you shemen, so I'm going to add a little bit more shemen. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't only have to, there's another way I can give you the shemen. I'll be makhtet to you. Again, you'll have to figure out what my kinyan is going to work to be kain shemen. That's a little bit of a lamdish conversation. What kinyan do you use to be kain shemen? Shemen is oil. Oil is metatlin. What kinyanim do you use metatlin? It gets complicated. So make sure you figure out which way to use it. But that's how you'll do it. Says Mr. Brewer, and this is very important. He writes, "Tehavikim mishtatev apruta umikol mokaim." Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Im yesh loy la'achsonoy ner." Let's say this visitor has a menorah with him. He has a menorah. He brought a menorah, and he brought wicks, and he brought candles. He's got all those things with him. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Nochin yosel halak ba'atzmai." Let him light himself. It sounds like the Mishnah Berurah was talking about this whole din of achsonoy. He was talking about a guy who doesn't have anything. He's stuck. He just has the clothing on his back. So then, what he should do is he should do this shtatzlus. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, if the guy has a menorah, so let him light his own menorah in the house. So on this comment of the Mishnah Berurah, if you skip down to 7c, in the Sefer Ikvei Atzoyin written by Rav Shechter quotes Rav Salvechik, that Rav Salvechik took very big issue with this Mishnah Berurah. Rav Salvechik said he doesn't understand the Mishnah Berurah. He says, how can I light my menorah in your house? It's not my house. There's a din beisai. I can't light menorah in your house. I can light menorah in my house. If I go to someone else's house, I can't just put my menorah there. So Rav Salvechik disagreed with this Mishnah Berurah. He writes over in number 7c, Ochen shemati mikvar ma'ir v'rebi. I already heard from my Rebbe Rav Salvechik. Sheish lada b'zeh. There's what to debate. V'loi ma'at to say to be'emes ein yochel hadak ba'atzma. You can't light your own menorah in someone else's house. The v'inyan hadlaka b'beisoy. You can only light menorah in your own house. Ukevi ha'shva ha'nal le'hilchas erevin. In the way we compare our homes in Chanukah to homes in Hilchas Erevin, u'be'emes ein zeh nikra be'isoy shachsana. It's not the house of the visitor. Here, if Salvechik says the lomness of Hishtatvus Pruta makes you one of the home. But just plopping your menorah down, that doesn't make you one of the Bnei Beisai. So, if instead of Salvechik, he doesn't think this is correct. He thinks that an achsanoi, the only way to be considered a part of the house, or more lomness to be considered Beisai, for it to be your house, is only through Hishtatvus Pruta. So again, it's not clear to me how far Rav Soloveitchik took this. Meaning, would Rav Soloveitchik say the same thing if I go away for Shabbos Chanukah? Okay, a young couple goes to their parents for Shabbos Chanukah. Rav Soloveitchik would say you can't put your own menorah in your parents' house because it's not your house. You're a visitor. You want to be considered a part of the house, you got to give a pruta. Or let's say you go to friends for Shabbos Chanukah, or any one of these cases. That wouldn't, again, not talking about a hotel, which might become your house because you're paying for it. We're talking about you go to a friend, go to parents, in-laws, whatever it is, go to your kids, whatever the case may be. But if Soloveitchik say also in that case, that's not your house, he would say you're also only an achsanoi to which you'd have to give a pruta in order to light. It's not clear to me. I'm not sure. Right, so Rabbi Willig says that he was always troubled with this. When he went away, he never knew what to do. Because on one hand, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's better to light your own menorah. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, it's wrong. So Rabbi Willig said what he would do is, and he says many times this happened, he would put up his own menorah, give a pruta, but not make his own bracha. Because he felt that making a bracha, according to Rav Soloveitchik, is a bracha vatala. So what he would do is he'd cover all bases. He would put up his own menorah, give a pruta to the Baal HaBayis, and then he'd light menorah and hear the bracha from the Baal HaBayis. That's what he would do to cover all bases. This way, he's yaitzu all shitas in Mishnah Berurah. Everyone's happy. Rav Soloveitchik could be happy with him. Everyone would be happy with what he did. I don't know. I'm not clear to me how far Rav Soloveitchik went. Did he mean this? Even if you're going away for Shabbos and you're sleeping there and you're eating there and you're there for 36 hours? It's not clear to me. But Rabbi Willig himself was choshish. And therefore, he says that what he would do is he would do all these. He'd give a pruta and light his own menorah. Okay. I'm not sure if that's how far of salvation went. It's not clear to me. Rabbi Willig was saying it over. He was saying he'd stayed by uncles of family members of his when he was traveling. I don't know how long he was there for. This is clearly true. Let's say, for example, you're sleeping in a hotel and you're eating by a family one supper during Hanukkah. So that's a classic case of achsanoi. You're a visitor. You're a real visitor. So in that case, I hear you probably shouldn't put your menorah up by them. I think in that case, you should do pruta. Or let's talk about the more classic example. You had a Hanukkah party. You're going to a Hanukkah party, and you don't want to wait till you get home to light. So you decide, I'm going to put my menorah up at whoever's making the Hanukkah party. You can't do that. It's not your house. That's your salvation's argument. It's not your house. So then what you would do is, if you want to be yaitz everything, you'd give a pruta to the Baal HaBayis, and you're supposed to stand there when he lights and listen to his brachas. You'll be mishtatif with his lighting, and you'd be good to go. Then you would not technically have to light when you get back home. You'd be done, finished. You're yaitz your mitzvah, you're ready to move on, which we'll talk more about in a few minutes. Right. Not. You probably shouldn't make a bracha. If you were a real achsano, you did everything properly with status with pruta, you shouldn't have to make again. So we'll talk more about that shayla, because that's really the classic.
If you didn't give the pruta, you couldn't make a bracha.
Well, then, if you didn't give the pruta the first time you were in Yaitza, or maybe you were, but I think the first time you were in Yaitza. If I go to someone's house for Shabbos Chanukah, and I'm there for a Chanukah party, I'm there for 3 hours, and I eat as much as I eat, I don't believe you should be allowed to make, you can light your menorah there. We'll see tonight that others disagree. Rabbi Willig said explicitly, he made it very clear, he agrees with this psak as well. He thinks that under no circumstance can you light Neir's Chanukah at a family gathering if it's not your house. The mere fact that it's your brother-in-law's house, you can't light Neir's Chanukah in your brother-in-law's house, unless you're sleeping there and you're eating there for a duration of time. Because you're there for 3 hours during the Chanukah party, that does not, in my humble opinion, I quote sources who disagree, but I think the accepted custom is not like that, and Rabbi Willig made it very clear. I think he emphasized it very strongly in the Shedar Ilus from him, that absolutely not, you cannot light. You wanna eat? Fine. So appoint a shomer, there's ways to get around it. But to light near his Chanukah at a family Chanukah party that's not your house is probably not correct. And we'll see in a second. Mr. Brewer almost seems to say it explicitly. So what it might do is it might be now this is now becomes your bias. This is now my house. Obviously, I don't own it, but this is my house because I'm sleeping here. I'm eating here becomes my bias. The fact that I'm at your Hanukkah party for 3 hours doesn't make it my bias. We'll see how this exactly works. If we look at number 10, okay, number 9 is just very quickly, they quote Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, just quotes how much exactly is a pruta today. We talk about status of pruta. So how much is a pruta? So he says over here, B'Shem Rav Moshe, that it was either 2 or 3 pennies. Not a lot of money. So again, you got to give a few cents. You want to be yaitza all shittas, give the guy a nickel. You be yaitza all shittas, you gave him a prut. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah over in number 10 quotes a very important Taz. The Taz writes like this. Avam isha soyed eitz chaver ba'akroi. If I'm by my friend, just ba'akroi. I mean, I don't live there. I'm visiting. V'yesh loy sham ba'ayis ba'oysa'ir. And I have my own house in the city. Classic Hanukkah party. I have my own house. I'm coming to some uncle's house for a Hanukkah party. Says Mr. Brewer, Tzarech Leilich Lebeisel, Lahadlik Shom, Ner Hanukkah. You must go back to your house to light Ner Hanukkah. V'meinu rotze lozoz mim kaimoy shesod. Let's say you don't want to leave the Hanukkah party at Zman. The Hanukkah party is called from 4 to 8, which is probably the worst time to call a Hanukkah party for. I think if you're going to call a Hanukkah party and you want to be yet to all shit, just call it for 12 o'clock. Call it for 12 o'clock in the afternoon. 12 to 4 is a beautiful time for a Hanukkah party. You can't light nears Hanukkah that early. You don't have to worry about anything. Perfect. When you call a Hanukkah party from 4 to 8, that's when you get yourself into trouble time. Because that's already Zman. You can light nears Hanukkah already 5:15, depending on, whoever you hold like. So what do? Then you're middle of the Hanukkah party, and the donuts look really good, and the latkes look really good. You don't want to go home and light nears Hanukkah. You want to sit in there and eat. So what should you do? So Mr. Booth says, very simple. Yitzavel ishtah shetad l'kol v'beisay. Tell your wife to light nears Hanukkah at home. Now, why is your wife not with you at the Hanukkah party? I don't know. Maybe it's your side versus her side. I'm not getting involved in the Shalom Bayis politics. But whatever the case is, she's not at the Hanukkah party. Maybe it's an office party. Whatever the case may be. So then you have your light. Your wife. Have your wife light for you at home, and everything's fine. Terrific. Now, what happens if your wife doesn't want to do that? She's with you at the Hanukkah party. Then you probably have to leave the Hanukkah party. Or you can't light there. Says Mr. Barumi, Komok a mitzvah by Yosef Mishluch. He stammers, he rejects the whole idea of allowing your wife to light for you, because you should always do the mitzvah yourself. Every mitzvah a person should always do himself when possible. Obviously, if it's not possible, you're traveling, you're on an airplane. So you can't light your own menorah. So then, of course, let your wife light menorah at home for you. There's no question. Or you're at your office and you're staying very late to finish work. So have your wife light for you, no problem. But if you could light yourself, then you should. So this Mishnah Berurah seems to be very clear. He's discussing mamash what we call today Hanukkah parties, right? He's saying that you're supposed to go home and light in your house. Don't light in your akroy house, at your temporary house. So the question that I want to get into tonight really is what happens when you go away for Shabbos Hanukkah, right? There are certain Shabbosim that just everyone knows you go away for. Shabbos Chanukah is one of the top, going away Shabbos and Shabbos Chanukah, Shabbos Nachamu. There's certain weeks that just everyone knows you go away. It's like, Halacha Moshe Mesinai. You got to go away for Shabbos Chanukah, right? So what happens when someone goes away? So what's the classic example of someone going away? It means I have my own house, a young couple. I have my own house. And then I go away. The parents are in-laws for Shabbos. And I stay there from Friday afternoon till Matzah Shabbos. So where do I light Friday night? Is my in-laws house now become my house? Or my house is my house? And now I'm an achsanoi. What do I do? So the Prichadosh deals with this shayla. The Prichadosh, number 11, was asked this exact question. He writes, and I photocopied the Prichadosh because the words of the Prichadosh are extremely important. He writes, Nishalti, I was asked, Al bein sheyesh lebayis miuchedes, about a boy who has his own house. He's going to his parents for all 8 days of Hanukkah. So a whole 8 days of Hanukkah. I don't know who wants their kids for 8 days of Hanukkah. I don't know, whatever. But he's going to his parents for 8 days of Hanukkah. I guess the kids are off from school. He's going the whole 8 days. I don't know, maybe the parents live in Florida, so you want to go for all 8 days of Hanukkah. I don't know. But whatever the case is, you're going to your parents for all 8 days of Hanukkah. So the question is, Hechi Adlik, where should this kid light his menorah? So the Prichadosh answered, Vayishavti Shadavar Baruhu, Shekivin Shesoid V'yoshen Eitz L'Aviv, because you're going to be eating and sleeping by your father, Kol Ches, Yimei Chanukah, all 8 days of Chanukah. Av Shebiyoy Meichel Achilas Rabbi Beisai. Even though dad lives close enough, then during the days you're going to go back to your own house. You'll eat lunch at home, maybe breakfast at home. She'enei Madlik Ela B'bayi She'oichel V'yoshen Shom B'layla. You light where you eat and sleep at night. The Kivin She'en Shom Adam B'bayi, there's no one else in your house, your whole family came with you. Lemi Yadlik, who should you light? So Pichadosh is basically answering our question. If I'm going away for Shabbos Chanukah, I'm going to be eating Friday night by my parents and sleeping by my parents. I live by my parents. Nothing to talk about. But what is interesting about the Pichadosh was, he keeps on talking about Kol Ches Yimei Chanukah. So the question is this only true if I'm away or my new house will be for 8 days? No one goes, most of us don't go away to our parents and uncles for 8 days. We go for one night, two nights. You go for Friday night and Matzah Shabbos. What happens then? Would the Prichadosh still say the same Psak? Or the Psak is only because it's for all 8 days of Chanukah? So what's interesting is, the Shaila that was presented to Prichadosh happened to have been a case where someone was going away for 8 days, and that was the way the Prichadosh answered. Would the Prichadosh say the same thing about our Shabbos Chanukahs, where we go away for one night? Or he'd say, no, that's the same thing. Or no, one night is not a Kviyas Malkum. The fact that you go to your parents for one night, you go to your neighbors or you go to family for one night, that makes it your bias? No, your bias needs to be for 8 days. So what's interesting is the way that Achronim quote this Prichadosh. The Moshe, if you look in the Chayyadah in number 12, when he quotes this Prichadosh, he quotes it with going away for 8 days. Now, if the whole 8 days was just a storyline, why would you quote the Prichadosh like that? You don't have to quote the storyline, you just have to quote the Psak. The Psak is, you light wherever you sleep and eat. V'zehu. So for the Chayyadah that quotes it with, he says, if you go to your parents or in-laws, ukiyotze b'lodu shom kol yimei Chanukah, he also talks about this all days of Chanukah, then you light there. So the implication would be from the Chayei Adam that it's only true if you go away for all days of Chanukah. But if you were to go away for only one night, or even two nights, then that does not become your new bias. Which means you can't light here, and you still have to light in your old house. Now, how can I light my whole house if I'm not there? The answer is you have to set up a shliach. You have to be a mana shliach to light in your first house. And in your second house, you'd have to do shtatfas bepruta. But you wouldn't be able to, again, according to Salvation, you wouldn't be able to pull out your menorah and light there. It's not your house. So the Be'er Halacha quotes this Pichadish again, word for word, about the case of Ches Yimei Chanukah. So some Achronim said, Rabbi Yashav is one of them, and said, no, this thing of switching homes is only true if you're there for all 8 days. If you're there for one night, that does not become your home. So then what am I supposed to do? So then I have two things I have to do. Either in my old house, I have to light near Chanukah, so I have to appoint someone who's staying home for Shabbos Chanukah to light in my house. And when I come to my in-law's house, I have to either be Mishtatav Bepruta, because I can't light. According to Salvation, I can't even pull out my own menorah. It's not even going to work. Because I'm an achsanoi. I'm not assuming that's what Salvation meant, even in such a case. It's not clear to me. So if you look over here, Reb Shlomo Zalman comes to the defense of Klal Yisrael. Again, most of Klal Yisrael, I don't think, does this. So what do we do? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, Orbech, number 14. Hamisarich bebeis achayrim, afilu liyem echad. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, if you're in someone else's house for one day, zeu mokim hadlakasai, that's where you light Neres Chanukah. So what does it mean one day? If I'm by your house for one day for Sunday afternoon, Shabbos Chanukah, for a Sunday Sunday Chanukah party, so I can light there. So Reb Shlomo Zalman on the explanation part, he writes, no, v'hainu sheshoa sham b'derech kviyas. There has to be some form of a kviyas. Shesoid v'lon sham ba'is alayla. There has to be a sleeping and an eating. That's what you need. Just to go there for a Chanukah party, that's not going to work. But you go to your parents or in-laws for Friday night, and you're sleeping there Friday night, you're eating there Friday night, that's enough to light Neres Chanukah there. What about the Pre-Chadosh? The Pre-Chadosh said 8 days. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that was just the storyline. That was the normal case. People used to go away for long periods of time. They didn't go away for one night. But Reb Shlomo Zalman felt that it's not binding eight. You don't need 8 nights. You go away for one night, you sleep there, you eat there, that's your new house. You go to a hotel, you go to your friends, you go to parents, in-laws, doesn't matter. You go to your kids' house for one night. Again, I'm not talking about where you go to your kids for supper during Chanukah. If you're going to go to your kids for supper during Chanukah, you cannot light in their house. You got to go back to your house to light, either before you go or after you go. You'll have to work it out. But we're talking about you're going to go to sleep away. Let's say, for example, middle of the week you travel, your kids live not in New York, they live out of state, so you're going to go there, and you're going to sleep over one night. So then you can light in their house, that's fine. But if you're going to just go there for a meal or for a few hours to play with the grandchildren, or better yet, to bring them presents, so then you can't light there. You can eat there, but you can't light there. You have to make sure either do ishtatvas bepruta. What you could do is give a pruta to whoever's lighting him ishtatif, or you have to light before you leave or after. That's what comes out. However, Shmuel Kamenetsky seems to disagree. If you look over here on the second page, page 2, Shmuel Kamenetsky seems to stick to his guns. And he thinks no. He thinks from the fact that everyone quotes the Pre-Chadosh with the storyline of 8 days, he thinks it's lahalacha. It's only true if you're going away for 8 days. You cannot get a new bias unless you're there for all 8 days. So therefore, according to him, if I go away for one night, I go 2 nights, that does not become my new bias. That would be the din of achsanoi. He says that would not be considered a new bias. So on the footnote number 17, so the Talmud of his who wrote the Sefer, Rabbi Kleiman, and Rabbi Flappish, he asked him, he said, 1 second. He said, the name of the chayv lahalokas bebeis akish misarach bebeis chaveroi, if it's true that everyone still has to light menorah in their first house because they never switched over homes, he says, so kosh eich meshkach la din achsanoi. So how's there ever a din of achsanoi? How's it ever relevant? Because I'm always attached to my first house. Because according to Shmuel Kamenetsky, the fact that I left my house for one night doesn't change. I still have to light Neres Chanukah in my first house. So how am I ever an achsanoi? What's an achsanoi? A homeless person. How can I be homeless? I have my first house. So Shmuel Kamenetsky answered him a big chiddush. He writes over the Heshiv Ma'iv Rebbe Shlita. Shmuel Kamenetsky told him, the koi ba'achsanoi shu rochuk mi beisai. Ve'en yochalim neshliach lahadik mishviloi. The whole din of achsanoi is talking about a case where I have my first house, but no one wants to stay home for Shabbos Chanukah. So I can't get anyone in the community to want to be my shliach. So now I'm not lighting in my first house. Now I'm by my parents for Shabbos. Now I'm stuck. Oh, so now I become achsanoi where I'm a shtatif bepruta. That's what he wants to answer. Again, the Fizat's a big doichik in the whole halacha. The whole Gemara is talking about a case where you can't find someone to light for you in your house. That's what he rules. I think the accepted minhag is not like that. I think the accepted custom is like Reb Shlomo Zalman said, that if you go away for one night, so that's your new house, you don't have to worry about your first house. I mean, according to Shmuel Kamenetsky, if you leave to go away for Shabbos Chanukah, you have to have someone light for you in your first house. So again, you'll have to have... Who? What's rachuk?
If the house is rachuk or it's Shabbos, you can't get to the house.
So again,
he says if it's rubber, you don't have to light the first house.
No, he's saying so that's when the din of achsanoi would kick in, right? So if you can't get someone to light, but if presumably you should try. First thing is when you go away for Shabbos Chanukah, the first thing you have to find is, can I get someone to light for me in my house first?
Yeah,
That's the first, according to him. According to the rest of us, you don't have to, because this is not my bias anymore. My new bias is going to be my in-laws and parents' house, so I just lied there. That's the nafkamina. I think the accepted custom is more like Rav Shlomo Zalman assumed that if I go away for Shabbos Chanukah, that's my new bias, and that's where I lie. Now, it does get complicated. What happens, for example, if you're going away for a simcha, so they're putting you to sleep in one place, and you're eating in a hall. So then the question is, so which is my bias now? Is my bias where I'm sleeping, or is my bias where I'm eating? That's where things get a little bit more complicated. So we'll have to believe that to try to get to it if we have time. Reb Shlomo Zalman has another shiloh that everyone talks about. So now we figured out how you're allowed to go away for Shabbos Chanukah. Okay, so you go away for Shabbos Chanukah and you're samech on the fact that because I'm staying there for 24 hours because of my new bias. What happens Matzah Shabbos? What happens Matzah Shabbos? Most of the time the kids go back home or the guests go back home. So where do you light Matzah Shabbos? Do you light by your parents' house where you're eventually going to be leaving? It was my bias. It's going to be no longer my bias in an hour. Or do you say no? It was your bias till now, but since you plan on going home, you're not staying any longer. You got to light when you get back home. So this also seems to be an interesting machloekes achrayim. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach also paskins in such a case that you can light where you were for Shabbos. So let's say where you go away for Shabbos to parents or in-laws or children, whatever the case may be, and you don't plan on staying. The Shabbos is over so early these days. Shabbos is over 5:30. You don't want to stick around for the next 4 hours. You want to get home, and everyone wants to get back to their own beds. So what do you do then? Again, it's already zman chiv neir. It's already mechuyv to light neir Chanukah. So what should you do? So Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach paskins, you're allowed to light where you were for Shabbos. Since I was there till now, this was my bias. I'm allowed to light over here. He does write Reb Shlomo Zalman, you should try to stay there for like a half an hour after light Neres Chanukah. So it means if you're going to have a light Neres Chanukah, stick around, catch up with the family, and then you can go home and you'd be done. Rev Bloy in the Sefer Chavis Hador thinks not like that. He thinks better is you should light where you're going to be. If I'm leaving my house, I'm done here, I'm finished, I'm moving out of this new house, I'm going back to my own house, you should light at that house. And this is a huge machlokes achronim. You have, one time I said this year, I think 25 different rabbanim on different sides. Light there, light here. I think there's a little bit of everything. Rabbi Willick said in this year that I listened to from him, he thought it's pashut. That if you're staying by family, if you're away for Shabbos Chanukah, it's pashut to him, you must light when you get back to your own home. You're going away for Shabbos Chanukah, you're by your parents, and you're packing out whatever, you got to light at your own house. You can't light by your parents. He thought this Reb Shlomo Zalman is a very big chiddush. He thought it's not like that. I think a lot of people assume like Reb Shlomo Zalman. The Moshe, Yaakov Kamenetsky assumes like Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. You look at number 20, and Emes Liyakov, Yaakov assumes like that. Yaakov makes the argument that since this was my house, it continues to be my house. And therefore, says Yaakov, the same way I was able to light Neres Chanukah here on Friday afternoon, because it was my bias. So it's my bias now also. So Yaakov assumed that you would be allowed to light by your parents and in-laws much of Shabbos as well. He does point out over here two interesting things. He says, you should try to stay there for an hour or two. More than Shlomo Zalman said stay there for half an hour. He said try to stay there for 2 hours and try to eat Malava Malka there. So let's say, for example, you went away to a family and that's where the Chanukah party is going to be. So that's beautiful. So you light Neres Chanukah there, you go to the Chanukah party, then when the Chanukah party is over, you go home. Now what happens when I get back home? Says Yaakov, you don't light again when you get back home. You're done.
The more important one is the eating versus the sleeping.
No, the argument is that... Right, but you just have to prove why this is still continuously considered my bias. The reason why this is still continuing my bias, because I'm still doing something there. I'm still living like a house. So according to Reb Yaakov, if you're going to light at the host, Matzah Shabbos, you do not light again when you get home. And he says like this, he says why? You don't light twice. I'm just wondering, what would happen if a guy moves? A guy decides to move on Chanukah. So he moves at 7 o'clock. So now it's 5:15. He lights menorah in his first house. And then he's going to move, and he moves to his new house. Would he have to light menorah again in the second house? Putting aside chashad, whatever chashad means. I would assume not. Because when Neiros Chanukah came, this is my house. It's been my house for the last 20 years. The fact that I'm moving in a half an hour, who cares? And now I'm in my new house. I don't have to light. I would assume you don't have to light again. I lit already in my house. So that's a separate child that I have. A guy has two houses. So strictly speaking from the Gemara, he would have to light al chshad. He'd have to have someone light in the second house. Now I just want to argue that could be in the mountains and there's no one there to see the chshad. Who's there to see it?
So somebody has an apartment in there, it's a soul, they have to have someone.
I'm not sure. I don't know. It gets somewhat complicated. Ask chshad. How far we go with chshad? Some people say chshad is not such a case today. People know. Let's say someone has an apartment in Florida. So everyone knows that, you know, he's in New York some of the time, he's in Florida some of the time, they know the whole story. Used to be back then, people didn't have so many homes. A person had one home. If he didn't light in his house, everyone knew something was up. So that's an argument that is made today. What do you do with chashad? There's an issue with chashad if people have a corner house. A corner house, some people say you have to light on all sides. Because I'm going to walk up one side of the street, I say, oh, no menorah. If I turn the corner, I see a menorah. Okay, that's a discussion in the Paiskim. I had this shalom, I'm on a corner house now. So I was a mesupik, should I light twice? Okay, I didn't put a menorah on all sides of my house. I put just one outside and one inside. That was good. But that's a shayla. How far chashad goes, it's somewhat complicated. So according to this, so the Matzi Shabbos shayla is debatable what a person should do. I get the shayla every single year. This is, you know, every shayla, any young couple deals with the shayla. So the answer I always tell them is, what's best for you? Is it easier for you to light by your in-laws, or they're trying to kick you out already? Is it easier if you light in your house? Whatever is easier, I think, is Yeshami Lismach. Again, I mentioned Rabbi Willig was adamant that he thinks that's not correct. He thinks you have to light where you're going to go back. I think there's enough very chashva paiskim who say you can light to whatever is better. So I think depending on the situation, whatever is easier. If the kids are screaming and yelling and you want to get them home, so light when you get home. It's more complicated. Let's say, for example, you're traveling. Let's say Shabbos is over at 5:30, and you're traveling from Baltimore to Baltimore. You got yourself 4 hours in the car now. So is it better to light there? Is it better to light when you get home? By the time you might get home, you put the kids to sleep, you might forget this, that, and the other. So again, I think everything should be dealt with kolafinia, but I think there's yesh amilismach on both sides. I don't think there's necessarily a wrong answer what to do over here. However, the shayla that I do want to get to tonight is lighting at a Hanukkah party. I think that is a wrong answer to. That's not your bias, and I think that's a problem. Now, there's a sefer over here that I put over here called Ner Yishu Beisai, catchy phrase for Hanukkah time. He writes like this. He comes up with a very big chiddush. He wants to say that Magen Avraham, that Taz that we quoted from the Mishnah Berurah, that kept on talking about if you're at your friend's house eating, he's medayik, that's talking about where I go to my friend's house to eat supper, but my family stayed back at home. Then I have to light Ner Hanukkah over there. But he says, but what happens if your family went with you? They went with you. They came to the Hanukkah party with you. Then, because there's no longer anyone left at home, then I can light Ner Hanukkah at the Hanukkah party. He writes over number 22, but if your family's with you, it's possible. You'd be allowed to light there. You'd be able to exempt your family. Even if you have your house is around the corner. He wants to make the argument that could be the whole din of the Taz, or that Mishnah Berurah which we quoted, was talking about where you're here and your family's there. So then you can't light here. You got to go with your family. But if my family's with me, this I don't understand exactly, and somehow this becomes my bias because my family's with me. I don't really understand it. And he ends off with a lumais at Tzarechin. I think it's a big Tzarechin. I don't even understand why one would make such a deal. But that's a deal he wants to make. If you look in Nita Gavriel, he writes over in number 24, if it's hard to get back home, you can light wherever you are. Again, I find this very, very hard to understand. I don't get how this works in any form of lumdus. Putting aside whatever you want to kvetch into the taz, I just don't see how this becomes your bias. Because I'm having one supper here, how does that become my bias? In fact, it doesn't fit into the words of the taz. The taz says clearly that you have a house. So Rabbi Willig was joking. He said, what does it mean to be karev be'ir? What's considered the city? You know, is it New York, New Jersey? That's already outside the year. So maybe the whole Taz, let's say for example, I go to family that's in Nassau County, and I live in Queens. So chutz le'ir. So the whole din of the Taz doesn't apply to me. It's only if I'm karev le'ir. If my house is in the city, but my house is outside the city, so it's a free-for-all. Rabbi Willig thought that was ridiculous. Karev le'ir doesn't mean, it means within traveling distance. It means you can get back home. The fact that it's technically called another town, that doesn't make a difference. I don't understand how one could justify doing it. We'll see over here another chiddush from Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky where he somewhat justifies it. He writes, "Misha huzman la'echal aruchas erev beis chaveri." You're invited for supper one night of Chanukah. The chayzach achal beis, and then you go back home. So in beis chaveri hu be'ir, if your friend is in the city, yesh lahadik be'beis and yachal lahadik beis chaveri, then you can't light there. Omnam in beis chaveri hu chutz le'ir. Let's say your friend lives outside the city lines, whatever the city lines are going to be defined by. I don't believe for a second they're going to be defined by the way the county defines it. You know, the Nassau County and Queens and Brooklyn and Long Island. I can't imagine that's chutz le'ir. Mistavra, listen to this. Says Rishon Kamenetsky, Mistavra the choshev kikvias le'in shuchal hadik nechanek sham k'den achsenoi. You could light there like an achsenoi. Now again, what's an achsenoi? An achsenoi, according to our salvagic media, you got to give a proof that you can't light your own menorah. According to Mishnah Berurah, you could light your own menorah. If you can't have someone light again, you gotta have always someone light in your first house. Then you could light in this house. When you get back home, then he holds you have to light again. Very confusing. So if you go away for supper, so first thing is try to have someone light in your house. If you can't find someone light in your house, then you become an achsanoi. So an achsanoi is machlokes achronim what you do. Then when you get back home, you have to light again. To me, it's easier to stay home and eat supper at home. It's my personal opinion. But that's what he holds. Then he writes in the footnote, and this really boggles my mind. He writes, what's pshat? Because only if you have a house in the city. So if you have a house in the city, then you got to light in your house. But if your house is outside the city, then where you eat becomes your kvius. Okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't understand it personally. But that's the way he wants to rule. He wants to rule that you could talk and justify lighting at a Hanukkah party. I wrote over here from the Shas Chuvas Kinyan Torah, who also comes up with such a chap. He wants the taina that since your whole family is there, that's enough to be considered your makim. And then he writes, it's on the next page, I put it somewhere else. He writes that befrat, that since Hanukkah parties might have an Indian of halachic backgrounds, therefore it's pashut to him that he justifies lighting at a Hanukkah party. So if someone lights in your house and no one's going to see it, so that's a shiloh, that's a question. But pashtus, we hold that as long as there's pesum and nisa, you're fine.
But there's no nisa.
Right, so then the shliach should light a place where there's going to be people outside. You have to work it out, depending on where you live. It gets a little tricky. Yeah, 100%. That would be a problem. Yeah, I think that would be a problem. So there's another shiloh that was brought up last week about what happens if you have a chasana during Hanukkah. Can the guests light at the chasana hall? So Yaakov Kamenetsky's quote over here, number 6, where he writes the following. People who light the chasana halls, that's choik. It's a galechta ba'alma. Yaakov said, all things are a joke. You can't be yetzer. Think about it. It's not your bias. What is it? Now, you'll make the argument, well, why is it any different than a Hanukkah party? Well, yeah, you're right. I think a Hanukkah party is a joke also. But I would have assumed it's the same thing as a Hanukkah party. The same way you can't learn there's Hanukkah in a Hanukkah party, you can't learn there's Hanukkah in the hall. However, Shmuel Kamenetsky writes over another Chiddush. He writes, the Bali Simcha could. The Bali Simcha have a right to light Neres Chanukah at the wedding hall. Based on what? So he comes up with another lomb. He writes, the Inya Bali Simcha's Nira, number 27, the Kivin Shehe Mukhrochim Neres Bul Machasana, because they have to be there. Okay? They have to, they want to. You're not like the case of the Taz. The case of the Taz was I decided to pop in for supper one night. So then I'm only an achsanoi. However, if I need to be at a certain place, says Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, he rules. First option would be is to appoint a shliach to light in your house for you. But if you can't, because all your friends are coming to the chasana, so they're not going to be around. So then he writes, he thinks the Bali Simcha, not the guests. The Bali Simcha. You know, parents of the Chasana Kala, maybe even siblings of the Chasana Kala, they could light in the wedding hall. But when they get back home, they should light again in their house without a bracha. Because of this idea of Chayves Habayis. Then on the footnote he writes, he says, "Omnam the makom ahu believe sharis la'azav the makom klal yisusha. You can't leave this place. Lomo lo yachshiv lo kviyas alimta. Why shouldn't this become make it your place? I'll tell you why it's not your place. Because you don't own it. You're renting it to use for 5 hours. I think it needs more discussion on this. But I guess it's something one could use halacha ma'aser. Shmuel Kamenetsky feels that for bali simcha they can lighten the wedding hall. That's Azayi Paskins. His father thought it was a galechter. Maybe his father was talking about the guests and he's talking about the bali simcha." I'm not sure. I don't know. But that's what he said. It's interesting. Rabbi Yaakov has another interesting fact, which I didn't put on the sheet. I'm just telling it to you out now. Rabbi Yaakov said, what happens if someone's in the hospital over Hanukkah? Can they lay in the hospital room? Again, putting aside how they're going to let you do it, can you? So Rabbi Yaakov said, no. A hospital room is not your base. I'm not really sure why not. You're paying a lot of money for it. When I got a bill for my wife after she had one of the babies, I said, for that price, we could have went on vacation. You're paying... You're eating there, you're sleeping there, it's miyachit for you. Now, yes, they could shuffle you around, right? The hospital can move you to another floor. They can't kick you out, they can move you to another floor. But Rabbi Yaakov writes, I'll quote it to you, V'chein yoledes hanimtza beveis chayim bezman chaneko, yadlik habal b'shvi loy, the husband should light, v'afilim tuchat lahalik b'yitha choylim, loy tadlik shom. The mavat chash sakona, it's dangerous, niru she'in ze beisoy. It's not our house. I'm not really sure why it's not your house. It's not your house, why? Because I don't know. It's not clear to me. But that's Rabbi Yaakov held. It's not your house. Okay. So let's just quickly talk because we're running short on time over here. On the last page, I put some interesting shailas about lighting on an airplane. There's a Chumash Marsham who suggests that you're allowed to light on a train. That's a common mode of transportation in the late 1800s when the Marsham lived. He passed and you're allowed to light on a train. He said, it doesn't have the halachic status of a bais. He said, who says it needs the halachic status of a bais? Doesn't need to be chayv and mezuzah. It's not that type of a bais. So he paskins that if you can sleep there and you can eat there, you chayv. He asked the kasha, but Rashi said that yoshev besvin, you can't light ner Chanukah. Says the Masham, yeah, that's been talking about one of these open boats. On an open boat, you can't light ner Chanukah, it's going to get blown out. It's not even a shaila. But if you have a real train where you have a room and a place to sleep, it's like the Masham, it's no shaila. You can light ner Chanukah. So the Nitta Gavriel wrote a very long tshuva. But what do you do on an airplane? Traveling on an airplane? Now, one can argue that an airplane is nothing. It's not your bias. What are you? You have a right to sit there. That's about all you have. But Nitta Gavriel writes this very long tshuva where he argues, where do you light Ner Chanukah on an airplane? So he asked the shout to Reb Chatzko Roth. Reb Chatzko Roth is a very big chassidish, a big paisik today. He lives in Bar Park. His wife is graduated just in Teresa, I think, last week. He's a big chassidish, a paisik, a chashiv, a paisik. He's very negev for the chasnida. He has a lot of gishmak akulos. Everyone knows. Okay, Reb Chatzko Roth. So Reb Chatzko Roth told Nitta Gavriel, told Reb Gavriel, you know what you should do? Go into the bathroom of the airplane and stay there for half an hour. Hold the door shut and light Ner Chanukah in the bathroom.
And how about the problem?
My mamas don't understand. Now you tell me this was written 300 years ago. I understand. This was, we're not talking 300 years ago. Reb Chatzko Roth is alive. You know, Zagzun and Stark should be alive for many more years. He really thought for a second you can light Neres Chanukah, you can light a fire in a bathroom. In the
25 years ago, you
could have. They used to smoke, yeah, I guess. But to hold, but say, but you'd be able to hold the bathroom short door closed for half an hour, no one's going to come in and find it somewhat funny.
You'd be able to do it. Electric.
Yes, electric we spoke about in other years. The assumption would be is electric and you can't. Electric is, according to most people, you can't. Yeah, we spoke about this many times, that for Ner Chanukah there's a tshuva from the Beis Yitzchak, from Yitzchak Shmalkis, who felt that although for Shabbos it would work, for Ner Chanukah there's akbad that has to be damaged to the nearest in the Beis Hamikdash, which is wick and oil, and therefore they reject it. But he turns light into the bathroom. So Nitta Gavriel, first of all, has a whole discussion of, are you allowed to do mitzvahs in the bathroom? That's a whole discussion. Are you allowed to do mitzvahs in the bathroom? So our bathrooms are different against the shtickle. But he says he thinks the whole thing is ridiculous. He says they're not going to let you. You're going to have to blow it out. Because at some point, someone's going to use the bathroom. Right, right. No one even sees it.
Where do you make the bracha?
Right, that's all shaila. You make the bracha outside the bathroom, then you walk into the bathroom. The whole thing to me is very funny. I would suggest, in my humble opinion, to follow another rule from Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman has a very big chiddush, and Reb Yashav agreed to him, that you can use a flashlight. You can use flashlights, b'diyeved, for Neres Chanukah. Better than using electric, because you held electric, you're always dependent upon the electricity. The electricity can stop at any moment. Mashenkin, batteries, battery controlled. So you know what? Again, you have to make sure you have fresh batteries before Hanukkah starts. So if Shem Zaman has a psak, you can use batteries. So I would argue, according to this, if this is all correct, so you go on a plane, so you'll set up the flashlights overhead, and you'll light your menorah Hanukkah, and you'll be good to go. I'm not saying anyone should do this, but I wonder if one could do such a thing. So Nitta Gavriel has his own chiddush. So what I think is you should be ma'amid a shliach, appoint a shliach to light for you in your house, I think, or your wife. But Nitta Gavriel, Paskas Allah Chalamais, what he thinks the right thing to do is to light the menorah for a second, although you're going to have to blow it out because the crew will require you. He holds that still including the sugi of kafsa. Although Pashtas kafsa ain't zakakla is only true if you lit it in a way where it could go. If tomorrow night I go outside and I light my menorah outside, it's going to blow out. It's supposed to be 40 mile per hour winds. So even tonight when I lit my menorah outside, even with my box, I kept on checking to make sure it didn't blow out. It's windy. So we pass in kafsa ain't zakakla. But if I light my menorah in a place where it's for sure not going to last, so then you're not yates. So Nitta Gavriel argued over here, but etzim it could go. The fact that the stewardess is going to come and knock on the door and make me put it out, he held that's not a problem. So B'tzal HaChachma, Paskin, b'diyevin, you can be saimach on this. But don't make a bracha. If you're going to do that, definitely don't make a bracha. So what about lighting in a hotel? So this was a shayla that's very negeh. Many people go away Shabbos Chanukah. So someone told me that Rav Moshe, someone said they heard b'shem Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Paskin, if you light in a hotel lobby, it's a bracha of atol, and you're not yetzin Chanukah. Okay? I accept Rav Moshe's psak. The assumption of Ramosha would be that a lobby is neither a place where you eat nor a place where you sleep. On top of it, Ramosha had a very famous psak where he held Bachram in Yeshiva that have a dormitory and they have a dining room. Ramosha held it's completely usher to light in the dining room. Bachram must light in the dormitory where they sleep, which is what they do, I think, in Staten Island Yeshiva. Could be they used to do it as well. Ramosha held, fire hazard. Ramosha held, so you have a Bachram who sits there and watches it. That was the opinion of Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe held, if you have a lobby of a hotel, what's the lobby of a hotel? It's not miyachid for you. Any guy can come off the street and sit in the lobby. It's not your place. So supposedly Rav Moshe held that you're not yoytzei as bracha vatal. I discussed it with other people, and they thought there's a lot of truth to what Rav Moshe was saying. There might be room to disagree. One could argue that maybe the lobby is an extension of my stay in the hotel. When I rent a hotel room, I get the room and I get the lobby as well. You know, I get to sit on the couches, and I get to watch the TV, and that's part of my hishtamshus of renting a hotel room. So that's an extension of my bias. I can hear such an argument, but I think according to Moshe, it's definitely troubling. So Rav Moshe Paskin, you have to light where you eat. So according to Rav Moshe, according to Rav Moshe, some stay in a hotel. Let's say according to Rav Moshe, you go to a hotel, and they don't let you light in your room. They make you light in the dining room. If they let you do that much. So according to Rav Moshe, that also might be questionable. Because the dining room might be a little better in a hotel because you can't have people walk off the street and sit in the dining room. In yeshiva, anyone can come in and they do whatever they want. Supposedly, there were achronim in Eretz Yisrael that held you can't light in yeshiva's dining room because it's not yours. In Eretz Yisrael, people wander off the street and get a free breakfast in yeshiva. People, it's not yeshiva bachim, it's a free-for-all. It's debatable. Rabbi Yaakov held not like that.
You light outside, that's not your house either.
And light outside where?
Your house.
I light outside on my porch. It's mine. That's mine. It's my property.
You can walk up there.
Yeah,
you
but
don't eat there, you don't sleep there.
Right, but that's my property. This is my house. It's an extension of my house. This is my house. No one else has any rights to it. If you come up there, you're technically trespassing. I can have you arrested. I don't know how it works in some hotels. I think they throw you out. That's always the problem when the young couples try to go on dates in lobbies. Eventually, they'll throw you out because if you're not a hotel guest, get out of here. You can't just use our couches. Right? You gotta buy the water, right? So that's a shout. So again, I'm not gonna be machriya legami that I think if a person's gonna be in a hotel, so to light in the room, I think is impossible. I don't think they're gonna let you. I think it's illegal. I don't think it's legal. So if it's illegal, they'll let you matay manoim. I think that'd be the best option. You can light menorah in the hotel room again, but I'm making a declaration. You have to discuss it with your attorney first because I'm not so sure it's legal. And if they throw you out, I don't want to be the one held accountable for it. So I think it's illegal to light a menorah in a hotel room. So I think hotels become somewhat tricky. I hear one can argue, but until I get better clarity, I'm going to assume, like Rav Moshe, that the lobby is not an option. So what do all these Hanukkah programs do? I have no idea. I'm not really sure what they all do. Many Hanukkah programs have programs over Shabbos, and I don't know where they tell you to light menorah. I'm guessing there's another opinion to be Sayyid Machan. I'm not sure. Maybe they light in the dining room. The dining room is better than the lobby. It's not clear to me. But Rabbi Yaakov held Fakert. Rabbi Yaakov held the Bedafka not to light in the dormitory because of Sakon. When I was a Bachur in Yeshiva, we never lit in the dormitory. We weren't allowed to light in the dormitory. We had to light in the lunchroom. But in Rav Moshe held not. Rav Moshe held, if you light in the dining room, you're not Yetzer. He held the Bracha Batola. You have to light in the dormitory. So, a person should try to find his way to light where he's supposed to. As Rabbi Willick said, there's nothing like being home. When you're at home, you have none of these shilas. You're light in your own house, you don't have to worry. None of these shilas come up. But if you're going to be away for Shabbos Chanukah, this is some of the popular shilas that come up, where exactly you can light, and where can't you light. And the Chanukah lighting of Chabad is very beautiful and very nice, but you absolutely, under no circumstance, can you make a brach on that lighting. It's very problematic. You're absolutely not Yetzer whatsoever. The Cedarhurst Park is definitely not your house. No matter who you'll ask. So it's very nice to be passing the nation. I think it's beautiful, as long as it's done without a bracha. If it's done with a bracha, I think it's very troubling. I had a Talmud man who came up at a chab today. He told me he's going away Thursday night in Manhattan to eat in a restaurant. So he thought maybe he'll call up the local chabad in Manhattan, ask him if he could be the one to light the menorah in outside. I told him, you could be the one to light the menorah, but you're not Yetzer Neres Chanukah. Absolutely, under no circumstances you Yetzer Neres Chanukah by lighting a Ner Chanukah in the middle of the street. You're absolutely not Yetzer whatsoever. You're better off lighting Ner Chanukah in your car. If you're traveling in the car, Achrein Paschim, if you're traveling in your car through the night, light Ner Chanukah in your car. Now again, it's not very conducive. But if you have a trailer, an RV, what are they called? Those RVs. Light Ner Chanukah there. I have no problem with that. That's a bias. But to light in the middle of Manhattan, under no circumstance, I think is anyone Yetzer the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah.